there's one key. And it is such a simple key. It's so easy to use. That if you can catch it and use it, you will gain access to the secrets of God. One thing. And it is so simple. And it is in your word, right in front of your eyes. It's like with me this morning when prophet said that I am the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. I turned to Pastor Ivan and I said, how the heck did I listen, I'm like, I know the word. And I turned to him, and this is not one scripture, it's a few. And I'm like, how did I miss that? So there's some of these blatant things in front of your eyes, but we get so casual with the word that we miss some detail that is locked up within the text. And so there's a small detail that I can give you today. It's really something so simple. Man, how many of you can say that I'm hungry for the secrets of God? That I want His secrets to be revealed to me. So I'm speaking about the secrets of God. Can you imagine what those will be? Prophet used a very powerful verse this morning. What I have not seen or have entered into the hearts of man. Come on now. Nor what the eyes have ever seen. Can you imagine what is yet still to be discovered within God? Now imagine I can give you one key and it will be an immediate effect. And you will gain access to the vaults of revelations and mysteries and secrets that is locked up in God. How many of you can say that I would want a key like that? And again, it is not a 10-step this or a 5-step that or a, you know, you need to do all this before that. It is so simple. I don't know, maybe you're not hungry for it. I'll keep it for myself then. It's fine. If you want to increase in your knowledge, let me rephrase. How many of you can say that I am currently enjoying the favor of God in my life? Be honest. Be honest. There's a way that you can enjoy His favor. And there's a way that you continue to enjoy the favor of God. How many of you can say that I want to know the ways of God? You see, if I know the ways of God, then I know the way that He thinks. And if I know the way that He thinks, that is the moment that I will enjoy His favor. Because now I'm living a life of obedience. Are we together still? Obedience is better than sacrifice. I've told you this before, that the way that God considers a friendship is not the way that we consider a friendship. The way that God considers a friendship is to the extent that you are obedient to His word, which means that if I want to be considered a friend of God or wants God to consider me a friend, then I need to be obedient to His word. I need to understand His way. All be together. Here we have Moses, and the man just spent 80 days within the glory of God. Yet the same man comes down from the mountain, and the same man that had this encounter with, where God said, Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by you. My glory will come pass by you. He was standing in the manifest presence of the glory of God. Yet this man will say, Lord, if you look favorably on me, what do you mean, Moses, if you look? You see, the man understood something that many lack. That the level that he's at is not the level. That there is something deeper. And that there is yet something more to be discovered. He was standing in the fullness of God. I believe, and this is my viewpoint, that at that moment, when God passed by and He saw His back, He saw everything from the beginning to the future. And that is how He could write the first 5 books of the Bible. We have to ask ourselves the question, how was the man able to know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? And yet the same man will say, God, if you look favorably on me, he says this, in fact, if it is true that you look favorably on me. Come on now. Exodus chapter 33 verse 13, NLT. You think I'm joking? Do we have NLT? I hope so. Okay, there we go. Listen to this. If it is true that you look favorably on me. Now listen what he continues to say. Hey, the man understands something. He says, let me know your ways. Let me know. I pray that this will become your prayer. Let me know your ways. There is not a day that passes by that I do not cry out, Lord, may I know your ways. Because I understand that when I know your ways, I will understand him. Listen to this. Let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully. Listen to his play of words. Not that I may understand you more, but that I may understand you more fully. Meaning what I have encountered so far, I know there's more, but I need to press in deeper. And for me to press in deeper, I need to know your ways. Show me your ways. Are you guys with me? So I may continue to enjoy your... That I may continue... There is a key right there. If you want to enjoy the favor of God, that is... I'm not speaking about the secrets. I'm just speaking about favor, normal favor. I'll maybe keep the key for to the secrets of God for myself. And it's so simple. You will turn to your neighbor and think, seriously. So simple. Amen. Say favor. Say again, say favor. Listen, if you want to increase in your knowledge and in your understanding of the ways of God, then this message is for you. I say again, then this message is for you. Can I have an amen? The Bible says this. Put on the screen for me, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, NIV. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 and verse 11, the NIV. And it says, the fear of the Lord, say the fear of the Lord. Say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm just waiting for the scripture. And knowledge. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of? And knowledge of the Holy One. Understanding His ways. And knowledge of the Holy One. I'm speaking about different levels of wisdom, you know. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, say for through wisdom. Come on now. Your days will be many and years will be added to your life. I can come and pray for you for healing, but there is a key. There's a key that I can give you that will prolong your life. I don't know if someone is hearing me. There's a way that you can redeem time. There is a way that you can extend life. We see the man Hezekiah applying this principle to his life. This was a man that feared the Lord. This was a man that lived his life doing what was right in the sight of God. The only way that this man could do what was right in the sight of God is when I can understand what he is required of me. He understood the commandments given by the Lord God Almighty. He followed the precepts of God. He followed the commandments, the law. Not unlike any of the other kings or many of the other kings. Who did what was wrong in the sight of God. This man was different. And this man finds himself on his deathbed. The prophet Isaiah rocking up on the show saying that, listen, get your house in order. You're going to die. Isaiah turns around and walks off. It's like, whoa. Come on, go read your Bible. Isaiah steps into his room. Hezekiah is lying on the bed. He's saying, listen, get your house in order because you're going to die. The man turns around and walks off. And the Bible says that the man turned around and that he wept bitterly and that he reminded God of how he walked with him faithfully and blameless. He reminded God of how he did what was right in the sight of God. What will you be able to remind God of in your time of persecution? And the prophet was stopped by God in the inner courts. Go back, I've heard the cry of my servants. I must respond. What he's saying is true. I will extend his life 50 more years. The prophet went back and extended his life by the cry. By the cry, the man's life was extended 15 more years. Say the fear of the Lord. Say again, say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to extend life, listen, when I pray for healing, a lot of your healing is dependent on your level of revelation of His Word. Because when I pray for healing, you need to understand that when many receive healing, it's not them being healed. It is you becoming healing. Because He is healing. I don't know if this is making sense. It's not you being healed. You become healing. Are we together? I can pray for you for healing. But if there are certain things lacking in your life, it will not happen. Because many times your healing is locked up in your deliverance. And many times deliverance must take place first before the healing can set in. I can take up many, many, many scriptures of this. I'm not saying that it's the only way that you'll receive healing. No, there is the odd in between that you will take a healing, will just set in. And that is to stir the hearts of the people. To stir their faith. Are you guys with me? I hope that you are still with me. And so let me get into the message. Say the fear of the Lord. Say again, say the fear of the Lord. Now, I want to give you a definition of the fear of the Lord. I know the prophet touched on this morning. I want to give you a definition of the fear of the Lord. And for me to give a proper definition, you need to understand that certain words are synonymous with certain other words. For example, when I say faith, you will think trust. When I say faith, you will think believing. Are you guys with me? Now, in the same sense, when I use the phrase, the fear of the Lord, there are certain words, predominant words, that are synonymous with this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And those will be words like honor, say honor, awe, admiration, adoration. Are you guys with me? That is the fear of the Lord. Because we've had this question so many times, but why must I fear God? I thought fear is the wrong thing. Not supposed to fear God. It is reverence. It is respect. But it's in a level of submission. It is a level of yielding. And that yielding and that submission comes through my own admiration and adoration that I have towards Him. That forces me. I don't want to use even the word forces. That just, it's a natural action that throws me down to my knees. And I throw my hands to the air and I just start to worship Him. Are you guys with me? Say admiration. Say again, say admiration. And adoration, when you start to worship and when you start to praise, I hope that it's being birthed out of a place of admiration, that it's being birthed out of a place of adoration that you have for the only eternal everlasting God. I don't know, in that moment, I'm being reminded of all that He has done for me. I'm being taken back where I stand before the cross and I see my King having been crucified for all this, for all my sins. And that is why I've cited earlier on, this wretched man that I am, I cannot help but to worship Him. I'm in awe of His splendor, of His glory, of His greatness, of His unconditional love, of His mercy, of His compassion that He freely pours out over my life every single day of my life. I can tell you that I do not stand ignorant to these truths. and that will always bring me to a place where I feel emotional, and will always bring me to a place where I cannot help but to raise my hands and just to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many times I will just stand and I will just cry out for hours. Thank you, Jesus. 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 And many people think, but how can I just repeat that over and over and over? And it's because I'm reliving the moments of when what he has done for my life. It is in the same sense where you cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You might think, how can the angels in heaven stand day in and day out, as the Bible says, and they cry out day and night. They cry out, holy, holy, holy. That is their worship. That is their song that they bring in day and night. For many of you, if you hear a song maybe four times in a row, the first time that you've heard it, there's an impact. It has an influence. The car is being filled with the presence of God. And you put that song on repeat. I do the same thing. And you milk that song. But why are we doing that? Because we're trying to recreate a moment that we had when we first... And so the angels standing in the courtrooms of heaven, in the throne room of God, and they cry, holy. They cry, holy. They cry, holy. That is exactly how they do it. You might be asking, but how can they sing the same song over and over? And that is their only worship. They cannot help it. It is because they are reliving a moment. Every time that they say holy, they relive a moment, and a new facet of God is being opened up to them. And then this new facet brings them to a state of admiration and new awe, and they cry holy again. And when they cry holy again, a new dimension is opening up. And every time that, hey, listen, they're standing right there in the fear of the Lord. It is a state of awe, it is a state of admiration that brings you into a place of proskuneo, where you kiss the face of God. And the deeper you go, the more dimensions are being opened up, and you cannot help but to cry, holy, 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 holy are you, the Lord God Almighty. May you be taken higher. May you be lifted up. May by the Spirit of the living God, may you be taken deeper into the presence of the Almighty God. We knew dimensions of him is continually being opened up to you day in and day out. But it requires our hearts that stands under the fear of the Lord. It is a place of honor. Worship is the only thing God cannot give himself. We worship him for what he has done for us. We worship him for who he is. Not for what you need. If your worship is birthed from a place of what can be provided from this relationship, the foundation is incorrect and will not last. It must be birthed from a place of just admiration, thankfulness, gratitude. I can tell you that your thanking... your thank you will align you for your next act of favor. One act of gratitude will set you up for your next act of favor. But if you cannot respond correctly to when favor is being shown to you, why should he show you any further favor? If you cannot respond correctly to when favor is being shown to you, and I'm speaking from God to you, then the fear of the Lord has already lifted. Amen. Now, prophet this morning touched on many types of fears, and I just want to name some of them to get into something I want to get into. Secrets. I hear the secrets of God. The secrets of God is not the same as revelation. There are certain people that I will deal secrets with, and there are certain people I just won't. I will not deal or share a secret with someone I do not trust. And so we have many different types of fears. We have what is known as universal fear. Say universal fear. Say again, say universal fear. These are fears that we all have in common. For example, let's say that a lion comes into the service. We can safely assume that everyone will scatter into a direction, being fearful at the threat at hand. Oh, come now. Oh, not me. We can safely assume, unless there's a level of stupidity at work, that everyone will scatter into a direction because of fear of the threats at hand. This is known as a unit. We can safely assume that no matter where this happens in the world, the reaction will be the same. Unless you're a lion whisperer. Don't be all religious on me now. But God have given me dominion over the world. Tell that lion, good luck. You will point that hand once. And then there won't be any hand. You better know that you fasted before you do that. Like Daniel. I'm just joking. You can laugh. It's okay. Amen. We can safely assume that the reaction will, no matter where you are, it will be the same. It is a universal fear. Amen. Say universal fear. No matter where this happens, the reaction will be the same. And now please understand that the most powerful fear that we get, and all of you will agree to this, is the fear of the unknown. That is the most powerful fear that we have. It is fear of the unknown. What is fear of the unknown? It is fear of not knowing what the future holds. That in its essence is the fear of failure. Everyone in some measure carries a fear of failure. And that is why many people will not take. I must be careful how I state this. That is why many people will not take risks. I'm saying this within measure of the boundaries of Scripture, always bearing in mind that you must have a circle of counsel. Amen. That is why many people cannot take a risk, because I don't know what the outcome will be. And if you're a blue personality, it's even worse. Because if I don't know I'm blue, if I don't know the outcome, there's no way in heaven that I will do it. No way. I must know the outcome. I must have all the information before I will engage or even attempt to take on something new. What that is, there's a fear of failure. What if it does not work? What if this thing does not come through? And many tend not to take risk. When this comes to the kingdom of God, it is dangerous. Are you guys with me? But that shows that I'm still dependable too much on myself and not on God. Because when my trust and my dependability is fully locked up in Him, then I will not be afraid of taking a risk. But even in that, I will know that He's in control, that I'm being led, that I'm being counseled, that I'm being helped by the Holy Spirit of the living God, knowing that every step that I take, that the outcome has already been defined beforehand. I want to get something out tonight, and I want you to get this. The outcome has already been predefined. And I just need to live in God's perfect will. Then I know that the outcome has already been it's already been established. The end result was already determined. It cannot be changed. What God has purposed you for cannot be changed. The end result is what it is. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord of hosts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To what? To give you an expectant end. The end result is expectant. But do you know what that end result is? Because if I do not know the end result, is when I falter between opinions and I get unsure about myself. But when I know the end results, it becomes simple. I hope someone is listening. There's a predefined expectant end. Do you know what that end is? Because if you do not know the end, you will not have vision. And if you do not have vision, your life will not be simple. Because the moment that I gain vision, the moment that I know my God, prophetic, divine call and purpose, my life now becomes simple. Every book that I read, every relationship that I engage in, every conversation that I will have from that moment forward will be in line with that prophetic, divine call and purpose. Your life becomes simple. Choosing a life partner now becomes easy. Because if that partner does not stand in alignment with what God has placed upon my life, it is a no-go. Choosing a life partner is not an easy thing. It is not an easy task if you don't know what is upon your life. But the moment I gain that at revelation, it becomes simple. If there is one thing that can kill the call of God upon your life, marrying the wrong person. That's not the purpose of the message tonight though. Amen. And then we get personal fears. Say personal fears. These are like phobias. Now please understand that these fears are very powerful. Many get their lives governed by a phobia. They will adjust their life. Let's say you have a fear for spiders. Amen. Now prophesied at this morning that there's a level that it reaches where it becomes a demonic thing, where it's a spirit of fear that then comes upon you. But please understand that these fears can be very powerful. It shapes, defines the life of many. Are you guys with me? And so then we have a fear that is different to every other type of fear. And that is known as a holy fear. It is known as the fear of the Lord. Say holy fear. Listen, the acronym for fear is this. But now there's two acronyms for fear that I want to use tonight. And the one is when there is demonic fear. And the one is when there's holy fear. The acronym that I give to the demonic fear is this. It's false evidence. Say false evidence. Appearing real. Then you know it's a demonic type of fear. It's false evidence, but it appears to be real. This is where David said in the book of Psalm chapter 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But we miss this part of the verse where we all quote this, oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he sounds like a rapper. But we miss the most important parts of that one verse. I will fear no evil. We all know that. And then he continues to say, for your rod and your staff comforts me. Your rod and your staff is what comforts me. That rod and that staff is known as the rod of Moses. It is known as your Bible. It is known as the living word. It is your word, meaning your authority, your word that governs me, that reigns and that rules over my life. And because your word is actively alive within, upon, and around me, and through my life, I cannot fear evil. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is false evidence, but it appears to be real. How many of you can say that I've gone through things in my life, and at that moment it felt very real? It felt like this is the end. It felt like I'm not going to get through this. Come on now. Let's be honest with ourselves. But it's false evidence that appears, and it's nothing but a smokescreen. You see, the enemy have perfected the arts of creating a smokescreen. It's nothing but a shadow. It is the shadow of death. It is not the real thing. The only thing I need to do when that fear presents itself is I need to keep on moving. And the way he says, though I walk through, not then when I get and I stagnate and I stand still and allow this fear to come in and consume me from every side. Oh Lord, what am I going to do? It's the end of the month. I cannot pay all my bills. Everything is falling apart. All hell is breaking loose. Everyone is getting sick. I don't know what's going on. Oh Lord, and you're crying out. Come on now. You keep on moving. And the way that you keep on moving is by being driven by His word. Your rod and your staff will bring comfort in a time of persecution, in the face of adversity. Can you hold and maintain a confession? The only way that you'll be able to do that is when you know His word. God can only speak to you to the extent that you know His word. You better know that when you are faced with trouble, and I'm speaking about life-threatening trouble, that you know His word. Because it's in that moment that God will bring up verses. It will bring up scripture. Guaranteed. Because where do we run to when all hell breaks loose? Then we want to go to God and say, Lord, now I need your help. And I've seen this time and time again. Our people will come after the service and cry to me, please pray for me for breakthrough. I need money. I've lost everything and I need a job and I need this. And then I'll pray. And then they get the work and they excel in that work and they're becoming extremely successful. And then they leave. The greatest test that you will ever face is a test of success. That I can guarantee you. It's easy to cry out success. What will you do when it comes? Because if you do not understand why God blesses people, you will waste the prosperity when it presents itself. We see this true with the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they went to bed as slaves one night, but woke up completely free the next morning. And God said that every woman will go to their neighbor and they will ask what they will, and it shall be given them. Gold, silver, clothes, whatever it is they require for this journey, and it will be given for them. But they did not understand why God blessed them. And what did they do? They ended up building a calf. If you do not understand why God blesses His people, you will end up building a golden calf. You will waste the prosperity when it presents itself. And you will be like the masses, that the moment God starts bringing success and prosperity into your life, and then you end up leaving. But God never blesses you for you. God bless you for someone else. God bless you for the kingdom. That is what we need to understand. And the moment that I can grasp the reality and the truth of what I've just told you right now, that is the moment the door will open up. God cannot entrust you with something that you're going to end up wasting. Too many people have proven this thing to be true. So I have learned over the years, when someone comes to me and they say, why is it not happening? Why is it not happening? Then I know there's still some lessons to be learned. And I cannot short-circuit the process. I think I shared this in Jerusalem that we had on Thursday. And I explained to the people, I've had many people that would come to me after the service. The time is running fast and I haven't even started yet. I've had people that would weep before me and they would say, Pastor Martin, I've lost everything. I've lost my job. I'm on the verge of losing my house. If God doesn't come through now, I will live on the streets in my car. Why do I tell someone like that? And the only thing that I can think of in that moment that comes up, because God can only speak to me to the extent that I know His Word. And suddenly I'm reminded. And this one man said, I claim stemiki. It's not a small voice when you know how to listen. It is a voice that echoes like a loudspeaker in your spirits when you are correctly aligned. But that cannot echo like a loudspeaker if there is no word deposited into my spiritual bank. And I'm being reminded when Jesus Christ spoke to Peter and He said, Peter, I have prayed for you because Satan have asked for you to be sifted. And I'm praying that your faith will hold fast, that your faith will not fail, that you will not fail in your faith. I'm praying, and then I will stand and I'm saying, listen, I'm praying with you. Just do not give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Your breakthrough will come. Just trust and believe in Him. It will come. And guess what happens? Breakthrough doesn't come. The following week, they come back. It's someone that was used to be in their e-group, in fact. Specifically that I'm speaking about. I'm not going to call any names. And they come back. It happened. I lost my house. I'm not living in my car. I'm like, listen, if you do not know who you are in Christ at that moment as a minister, you will doubt yourself so quickly. I promise you. And I still then I think, no. God is not done with you yet. With everything within me in that moment, my heart is breaking for them. And I want to just say the words, just come live, just stay there by me for a few weeks. 100%, no problem. But I cannot. Because when I do that, I will short circuit what God is busy doing in their lives. I have to be extremely sensitive to the process. They're being sifted. God is molding them and He's shaping them for something better that is about to take place in their life. If I act incorrectly and I say, come, let me take you in, they will have to go through it again. And I must be sensitive. And then I repeat the same words. I'm praying for you. I believe and I trust in God. Your breakthrough will come. The next thing to go is the car. And then they come back the next week and they weep. And I thought, dear God, they've now lost the car as well. And then they say, you won't believe it. But on 0.99, something came through. And the situation turned around. And the job that I've now received was even triple the amount of for the place where I used to work for. The specific individual that I'm speaking about right now is extremely successful. Fear of the Lord is a key that many misunderstand, but that will give you access to dimensions. How can I put this? It will give you access without permission. It is where you induce. There's a way that you can fasten the labor process. In the same way, there's a way that you can induce a breakthrough. Ay, ay, ay. You force it from heaven to be made manifest in and through your life. It is an action that God cannot ignore. Because if He does, it will go against His word. Say the fear of the Lord. It's not always what you think it is. It's not just something that is written in scripture, the fear of the Lord. There's so much in this topic. And we have to unpack it little by little. And I don't want to rush it, because I need you to understand the fullness of it. And my time is running out, and I'm on page 1 of 10. Amen. Listen, I'll get into that part later on. There is a type of a fear that is completely different to any other type of fear, and that is known as a holy fear. It is known as the fear of the Lord. Now let me tell you what makes this fear different to any other type of fear. Put on the screen for me 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. King James. One of my most favorite verses. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. 1:8, King James. I think tonight I'm not in the mood for King James. Put on for me New King James. There we go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. It says your perfect love casts out fear, right? But now, this translation, you need a little bit more of understanding. In other words, you will have to fill in the gaps. So let me do that for you. Put on for me, I hope we have this, the Good News Translation. We don't have the Good News Translation. So now you're just going to have to trust me. Amen. Don't worry, I have it. And you can just Google it. Same verse. GNT. Good News Translation. And it says this. There's one small little word that is added in the Good News Translation. Say good news. I say good news. What I'm giving you tonight will be nothing but good news. What I'm giving you tonight, listen, when we preach on the fear of the Lord, please understand that this forms a part of the gospel. For God so gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, there is no fear in love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. But whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I preach on the fear of the Lord, I am preaching the gospel. I am removing fear from your life. For many of you have been crippled. Listen, the demonic level of fear is when you've been crippled by fear. When you come into a situation and you've been crippled by what is happening. Because fear has gripped your heart. And it's removing the life from your body. And the only thing that you can find is having a panic attack. It's a demonic level of fear. But by the information I'm giving you this night, I'm removing the spirit of fear. That thing will not stand. I hate the spirit of fear. Prophet said this morning, for God said that I have not given you the spirit of fear. But of what? Power and of? There we go, the gospel. And of love and of a sound mind. This is the good news that we preach. Good news says this. So remember, it says perfect love casts out fear. But now there's a small word added. And the good news, and it says there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. And so, small word, but it changes the context of the verse completely. And it says that it drives out. Perfect love drives out all fear. Say all fear. Say again, say all fear. Listen, that's a revelation right there. In what context does it mean all? It's difficult because God wants fear to be absent from your life. But now, He still wants the fear of the Lord to be there. But now, yeah, it says that perfect love drives out all fear. So in what context does it mean all fear? Because He still wants the fear of the Lord to be there. Are you guys with me? This means that the only fear that should be in your life, there should be no other fear. The only fear that should be be in your life as a born again believer should be the fear of the Lord. The greatest fear that you as a believer must have is the fear of the Lord. You should not have a fear of failure. You should not have a fear of the unknown. Listen, I am you should not, there should be no other fear than the fear of the Lord. Say the fear of the Lord. You must understand the power that is locked up in the fear of the Lord. When you can grasp the revelation that is in the fear of the Lord, your life will take a whole new direction. I can promise you that. Again, Psalm chapter 23 verse 4. New King James, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David is saying that I will fear no evil. But for him to fear no evil means that there must be another fear that is greater than that fear that he is currently facing. So this is the question. If you love God, how many, by the raising of your hands, can say that I love God? That's everyone. This is not something you should doubt. You sitting here tonight shows me you love him. I'm still speaking to those connecting on live stream as well. I trust that you are all with me. So if you love God, then what does the love of God do? It drives out all fear. It drives out all fear that is not of God. And it leaves one type of a fear in its place. And that is the fear of the Lord. Are we together now? Say the fear of the Lord. Listen, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he took the rod in his hands and he threw it to the ground and he turned into a serpent. And then the magicians of Pharaoh did exactly the same thing. Threw their staff on the ground and it turned to serpents. But what happened? God's serpents ate the wicked serpents. Are you guys with me? There's a word that overpowers and that is stronger. There's a fire that is stronger than an evil fire. The Bible says that God is an all-consuming fire, which means that there is a fire that is stronger than any wicked or evil fire that wants to present itself, the shadow of death, the smokescreen that the enemy wants to present you with. There is a fire that is stronger than that fire. In the same sense, you need to understand that there is a fear that is stronger, meaning it will overrule and it will cancel out the fear of the enemy, Satan. And that fear is known as the fear of the Lord. When I understand my fullness in Christ, then there's a fear that comes upon me. And that is the fear of the Lord. When the fear of the Lord rests upon you, all other fears must come into subjection. In fact, it must leave your life. It can no longer be in operation, which means that if there's any other fear in your life that is not the fear of the Lord, that part of your life is not yet in subjection to the authority of God's word. You have not yet gained revelation in that part of your life. Perfect love. It means that you've not yet been made perfect in love. What does that mean? It means that there are certain areas in my life not yet surrendered to Him, not yet in subjection to Him. I've not yet been made perfect in love. If I'm made perfect in love, I'm living in the fullness of God. Don't worry, it's just load shedding. Amen. 2 weeks back when I preached in Krugersdorp, all the power cut, lights went off, and I went old style. I preached without a mic. I don't need a mic. If the enemy thinks I need a mic to preach the word of God, he's sorely mistaken. I don't need a mic. I've got a bolted mic. I will preach the word of God no matter where I go. Amen. I'm not distracted by things. There's a fear that is stronger than any other type of fear. And that is the fear of the Lord. It casts out any other fear. The only fear that you must have as a believer is the fear of the Lord. Reverence, awe, admiration, adoration. It is where David so eloquently stated that I foresee the Lord before me always. I foresee the Lord before me always. If you study that, it means if you look before you, He's there. When you turn this side, He's there. When I turn that side, that is. When I turn back, He's there. No matter where I turn, I foresee the Lord before me always. Always. Say always. I hope someone is getting this tonight. The fear of the Lord will require knowledge of His word. The fear of the Lord will require an understanding of truth. In fact, it is the fear of the Lord that empowers one to walk in truth. It is the fear of the Lord that will compel you to press into deeper truths. The fear of God. Because the more I admire and adore Him, the more... Listen, the only way or reason why I would admire Him is when I have gained a certain revelation of Him. And the moment that I've gained a certain revelation or the truth of God, it compels me to want to know more. You become selfish in a good sense. Because the more that He pours out, the more that He reveals, the more I want. And that is a good compassion and a hunger that every believer should develop and maintain. Because the very thing that the enemy wants to steal from you is the hunger that you have for God. Because he knows that the moment that he can remove the hunger and the passion and the desire that you have for God and for the things of God, the moment that is taken out, you will drift away from God. It means the fear of God have lifted. You've lost your admiration. You've lost your adoration. The fear of God have lifted. Are you guys with me? And so there's a way that you can measure this. There's a way that we measure the fear of the Lord. And I'll close over this. We continue again next week. There's a way that I measure the fear of the Lord. It's very easy. Put on the screen for me, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2, New King James. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2, New King James. And it says this, "Now this is the commandments, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess." Verse 2, "That you may fear the Lord your God." To what? To keep all. Okay, now let's just stop there. To keep all His statutes. She says, say to keep all. Now listen, the Bible does not say to keep some. Or only the ones that I desire. Because you will find that many people will use scripture to twist and pervert the word of God to justify their actions. It does not say the ones which I choose or that I only want to learn or that I want to know. It says all, say all. You must keep all of His commandments. Are you guys with me? Say all. So there's a measuring stick to tell how much you actually fear God. The fear of God is measured by how much of the Word of God you believe and apply. The fear of the Lord in your life is measured by how much of the Word of God I believe and therefore also apply. Believe and apply. Believe and apply. It all boils down to obedience. Say obedience. Say again, say obedience. Listen, meaning how much of the word is in operation in your life. How much of the word is alive in you. How much of the word is bearing fruits in your life. And I have spoken on the importance of how you must bear fruits. As a board, some of you look extremely bored. Okay, I'll close the service, it's fine. Some people are yawning. So, dear God, if you yawn, just please put your hand in front of your mouth. When I yawn, it means that this is not important for me. I don't really care. It shows familiarity, not towards me, towards the Word of God. Now everyone wants to yawn because I'm speaking on it. And there's some people like, please let him not see me, please let him not see me, please let him not see me. How much of the Word of God you believe determines how much you fear Him. How much of His Word I apply determines how much I fear. Listen, you can, this is where it begins. You must open the Bible and you must start to engage with Scripture. You must start to encounter Scripture, because the more of His Word I deposit into my spirit man, the more I can know what I need to abide by, the more I know what I need to apply to my life. Listen, I cannot follow the statutes of God if I do not even know what they are. Many of you are part, you claim to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Many of you claim to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet you do not even, you cannot even begin to comprehend your constitutional rights. If I do not know my constitutional rights, it can cost me my life. I say again, if I don't know my rights, in any government it's the same. If you don't know your rights within South Africa, it can cost you dearly. There are certain things that I need to know and understand to be a citizen of this country. It works the same with the kingdom of heaven. And I saw this post and I thought it was brilliant. That everyone wants to go to heaven, but they can't even go to church. And you want to know God, but you cannot open your Bible. And therefore you don't know your rights within the constitution. Listen, do you know what is your constitutional rights? Is locked up in this Word. It is the way that you should govern your life, should be governed by His Word and should be placed under the authority. If you have the fear of God upon your life, then this book will be of the utmost importance to you. In fact, when you carry the fear of the Lord, you will not be able to hold it back. You will say, I cannot wait to get into Scripture. What more can I learn? What is the next thing that God wants to reveal to me? That is what it means to fear God. You want to, Lord, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully. Moses was a man that operated. He was operated by the fear of the Lord. That is why he could speak those words, standing in the glory of God. Yet he can come out of the glory and say, what is next? What is next? Take it so casual. There's countries that they cannot even, they're not allowed to have a Bible. They're not allowed to pray. If you've been caught with any of these items that represents Christianity, you will be put to death. Yet those are the ones that will take a Bible and they will memorize as much as that they can in the time given, and then they will put it again. And then they will go and they will go and preach it. What have happened? We have such freedom, yet we take it so lightly. I don't memorize verses, I memorize chapters. Because it's ammunition in the spiritual war that I'm caught up in. I need to know my God. I need to know His ways. I hope someone is listening. Dear God, every time that I preach, I come down to this. If you go for anything, go for the Word. But if there's no fear, that is what happens. The fear of God have lifted off of the lives of many, and they've lost their passion and they've lost their desire for the things of God because there's no fear anymore. People will so casually, so easily speak against the anointing. There's no fear anymore. People will so easily take offense and think the world owes me everything. The fear of God have lifted off of your life. I've had so many people that will come to me and they will say, if you see anything in my life that should not be there, please tell me. And then I'm like, And then the time comes and I tell you, you have taken offense. Out of compassion and concern. And then my words will be taken and misrepresented. People will so easily and so casually go speak against the anointing. Go speak against the body of Christ. So easily. Where has the fear of God gone in your life that you think you can so easily open your mouth? Hear me now, that is a curse that you don't want to bring upon your life. I have had people come to me and say, they cannot understand this. All hell is breaking loose in their life. They're doing everything right. They're studying the word. They're praying. They're fasting. They're sowing. They're giving. And it's like everything is falling apart. The children are in a rebellion. The husband is no longer in the church. They cannot explain it. I've learned to ask two questions. First question always that I ask is, do you sow? When they say they do, then the second question what I ask is, have you ever spoken against any anointed of God? I don't care who they are, what they are. If they're standing in a ministry position, God have placed them there. Because I don't know if someone is listening right now. Oh, yes. Back there, there, and there. This have happened, but you don't understand. But you don't understand. I said, don't give me details. I don't want to hear it. You repent. And then I will lead them in prayer and they will repent. It's almost immediate that the situation changes. Where has the fear of God gone? Put a God in front of your mouth. If you don't understand something, shut up until you have gained clarity over the situation. This is something I had to do many times. Where something will not make sense and I might not immediately agree with something and then I will just, no. Until you gain clarity over a situation, get your facts straight. Amen? Upson is listening. Because that includes you. Anyone who claims to be anointed. The words you sow will come back. Where has the fear of God gone? So easily we will speak against the word of God itself. I've had many, many people come to me saying, but the Bible says that. I'm like, no, the Bible does not say that. I'm the last person you want to come to. I have your facts straight when you come to me and say the Bible says. Because I'll tell you exactly where in Scripture it actually says that it doesn't say that. And they misrepresent God. so easily. Being called a believer, being called a Christian, is not a small thing. You represent heaven. You better make sure that you do it well in all aspects of life, all the time. Offense comes to everyone. We all know this. Offense comes to everyone. How you respond in that moment will make or break you. Comes to me a lot. I'm not free of this thing. It comes to me as well. A lot. Maybe more than for you. But I've learned how to recognize certain things. I've learned how to trust in my circle of counsel. I hope someone is listening. Because what I'm telling you right now will save your life. Offense blinds you from truth and from reality. I'm going to close off in 1 minute. John the Baptist is in prison. The one who proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb to be slain." As he announces the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he's standing in prison and he sends his disciples, "Go and ask Jesus if he is still the one." The man took offense. And he could no longer discern the truth. In that moment, you must depend on your circle of counsel. They can be your voice of reason when you can no longer see the truth. Until that season has passed and truth can come in. I hope someone is listening to my words. There's so much more that I wanted to touch on. We'll carry on next week.